So my name's Gail Fairlamb, and before I retired, I was the Director of Strategic Engagement in the Department of Premier Cabinet, that big building over there. So I joined Cabinet Office in 2010 to work on what was then called the Strategic Plan Update. So many of you may remember South Australia had a strategic plan under Mike Ryan, and a team was put together to engage the community around the update of that. And we were tasked with engaging with 10,000 people, which was a massive ask. And so that sort of kicked off a whole lot of work, which culminated in 2014 when Jay Wetherill came in. And many of you may know that Jay had a couple of key priorities, and one of them was about democracy and integrity in public service. I then was the Director of Strategic Engagement, and my job was to put together a policy, to design and then deliver a policy called Reforming Democracy. And that policy covered a suite of things, including citizens' juries, participatory budgeting, country cabinet, the Big Better Together program, which aimed to uplift the public service, the Your Say website, a bunch of stuff. And some of that stuff was just consultation, and some of it, like the citizens' juries, was deliberative democracy and fell into that more discursive, collaborative part of the work. So some of those citizens' juries were things like, the first one we did was on the nighttime economy, balancing the tension between keeping Adelaide a vibrant place, encouraging people into the city as residents, but balancing that with the live music agenda. So a bit of a kind of tension there between the different agendas, both important to have a vibrant city, but sometimes in conflict with each other. That was followed by the cycling jury in 2000, going back a bit here, 2014. And then I was also involved in the design of the cats and dogs citizens jury and the big nuclear waste jury that travelled alongside the Royal Commission. And that, I think, was 2016?
Something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, so this big program rolled out, lots of resources. It all came to an end when the government changed, as these things are wont to do. But it was, I think, a program that put South Australia on the map in a number of ways in terms of government's commitment to community engagement. And we won a whole bunch of awards, including a United Nations Award for Excellence in Public Service. And it was a very exciting end to my career. I'll hand over to you. That gives you a sense of what I did when I was in public.
Yes. And I come from a completely different background to Gail, even though we've known each other for a long time. I'm a researcher, and I work for the University of Adelaide. I've pretty much retired now. I still do bits of work. I did a citizens' jury last year in Canada. But mostly I'm not doing that anymore. I'm hiking in the bush, which is much more fun. Although I did enjoy doing citizens' juries, I still enjoy doing them. We conducted our first citizens' jury in 2008, where we were looking at, would you believe it, what should the government do in the event of a pandemic? And so, yes, all that time ago. And the first one, question we had was if there's insufficient vaccine and antivirals to go around, who should get them first? And that was really interesting because at the same time we did a survey. And if you want to ask later, what was the difference between what came out of the survey and what came out of that was something that was extremely interesting. And then I've done many since then in South Australia, but always in a research context pretty much. In Canada, I have done them with government, with the University of Alberta and the Alberta government. And I was in Wollongong for a while, and we did do some with the Population Health Research Network looking at sharing, should public health data be shared with private industry? Because there are good reasons why you might share hospital data or GP data with private industry, but of course there's issues there. So we asked that question. Rebecca.
Yeah. So my name's Rebecca Tour, and I met Jackie and Gail when I was working at the University of Adelaide as well, and I was working in various research capacities and we did juries together. So a couple of different juries looking at vaccination policy and a big jury looking at obesity laws and regulation. So that was what kind of sparked my interest in deliberative democracy. And it was the theory, which Jackie can talk some more about in real detail, underneath the use of juries as a kind of research method was what really got me interested. And then I took that with me, and as I moved away from research and into teaching at the university, I became really interested in two things. So one thing, co-designing with students and with colleagues, and there's a real relationship between co-design and deliberative processes. And then secondly, partnering with students around university governance. It's the same sort of thing. We're talking about processes where on somewhere on a continuum we're sharing decision-making power with the members of the community about whom the decisions are being made. So that's kind of where I've really come at this work from. Now I'm the Director of Policy and Advocacy. The Director of Policy and Advocacy at SACOS, the South Australian Council of Social Service. And in that environment, we've done a couple of, we wouldn't call them citizens' juries, and we can define what we mean, the differences are, but we've done a couple of deliberative forums looking at different policy questions. So we were interested in reforming the concession system in South Australia, so that's the process by which you get discounts and rebates on various state government charges. And we were interested in how the community felt that ought to be done, what should be the principles by which people are eligible or not eligible. We also did a big deliberative forum last year and a big kind of deliberative consultation process looking at food security and what the government ought to do about food security. And hoping very soon that the results of that work will become available to share publicly. So that work was done for the Department of Human Services and the Department of Preventive Health, so the preventive part of SA Health. So those have been two really important processes that have showed me something different about deliberative processes. And what I've really learned from a SACOS perspective is the emancipatory potential of deliberative democracy. So it's not just about getting people to kind of deliberate about a question in order to work out an answer. That's quite an instrumental way of thinking about it. But actually the emancipatory potential of allowing people to take control in some respect of the decisions that are going to impact on them. And so now that's kind of what drives my interest in using these processes in our work at SACOS.
Right. Define a citizen's jury.
So what's a citizen's assembly? What's a citizen's jury? So it comes out of... So I'll start off by saying the word democracy. So when we think about democracy, we mostly think about representative democracy. So we elect representatives to go to Parliament to argue for our interests in the development of policy and practice in government. Through government. That's representative democracy. And there's two problems, I think. It's a really good system. It's a great system. But there's two big problems, I think, with representative democracy. And the first is that it means that ordinary people and ordinary citizens are quite removed from the decision-making process. I think the second issue with representative democracy is that the people that represent us, that are sitting in Parliament, aren't really like the general community. So one-fifth, for example, of politicians in Canberra come from a law background. Most of the people in the Liberal Party that are representing us in federal parliament are from management backgrounds. So it's not really the type of person that is making those decisions. Yes, they're representing us, but you can see there's some problems there. So what's deliberative democracy? Deliberative democracy comes out of a political school of thought, which I was just saying, it really became into its own in the 1970s. And the idea is that a small group of people, if they're given sufficient information, if they're reflective of the community, can talk to each other and be helped to come to some sort of consensus around a particularly contentious topic, and can bring in views that wouldn't normally be heard. And so a citizens' assembly is you take 25 people, you use random sampling from the community, so you might send out 10,000 letters taken from the electoral roll to people and say, would you be interested in being in a community? You'll get a certain number of people saying yes, and then from that you would fill strata. So you'd want as many women as men, for example. You'd want different levels of education. You might want different cultural backgrounds. You certainly would want a range of ages. You want as many young people as people over 70. And if you just do random recruitment, you will end up with older women.
People like us. And we're not reflective
and
either.
We're not reflective either. So you tend to do these. So you've got 25 people who look like the community. You give them lots of information. You have experts present to them. They're able to challenge that what's said by the experts. You give them time to think about it, time to talk to each other. These are people that would never normally talk to each other. And then you have very good facilitation to make sure that dominant voices don't dominate, and that everybody gets the chance to have a say, and then you try to pull them together to reach a consensus around a particularly difficult policy question. So, you got anything else to add to that, Gail or Rebecca?
I mean, yeah, I think you probably want to ask why. Why would you do a citizens' jury? Because, or even a deliberative process that perhaps wasn't as kind of intensive. Because a citizens' jury, certainly all the ones that I ran, went over 3 to 4 months, had 8 or more meetings of the jury, involved quite a significant investment in resourcing, and asked of those people to give up their time, and also asked of government agencies to give up, or at least to be open to what the jury might come up with. Because at the end of that process, the juries that I've run came up with sets of recommendations. So, I mean, why would you do this? And I think really it's about some of the principles about why are consistent with why you do community engagement at all. So you're getting you're getting your policy piece informed by a diverse set of people from the community. If a lot of the time the policy, recommendations that come up are more relevant to the people who are actually living with those recommendations. So it's not that experts or people from the bureaucracy or from the political space who perhaps may not have the lived experience of people such as ourselves now. The big one is that you build trust with the community by involving a set group of people who have credibility, who the community can look at and say, well, that set of recommendations were devised by people who looked like me, people with my kind of life experience. And that sort of builds social cohesion. It also gives government some credibility. We're tending to be more inclusive. And it also gives people within the community, and certainly those who've experienced the citizens' juries, report back that they have a more real sense of what government is about. Because I think a lot of people in the community would be saying, you know, I want this and government should do that. And, you know, if you go on social media, there are a wild selection of things about what government should and shouldn't do. And in fact, government is not an unlimited source of funds and resources, and that there are trade-offs, both in terms of resourcing, but in terms of other things. And by participating in that process, citizens, and if you take that jury recommendations and process out to a broader group of people, certainly the media got involved in a lot of the ones that I did and reported the progress of the jury. So you then have a deliberative process where you're looking at the trade-offs. If we do this, if we put more residents into Adelaide in a nighttime economy, there will be an impact on live music. If we allow live music completely to, you know, unlegislated, unregulated, there will be an impact on... So that's just a very kind of top-of-mind example. But there are these trade-offs. And I think that what you do is you get some really fresh ideas coming out from people. They bring new insights because, you know, government is, to some degree, like everything, a bit of a bubble. You kind of go along this, and quite a lot of the recommendations that came up, juries, for example, the nuclear jury, everyone thought that the citizens' jury, that was a much bigger one, it was about 300 people, everyone thought that the citizens' jury on nuclear would come up with a finding that safety would be an issue. And the topic was asked, you know, under what circumstances can we store nuclear waste in the state? And the jury found that, in fact, safety was able to be managed, but they looked at the economic findings of the Royal Commission, and fortunately, because it was such a very big jury, it was quite a representative group of people, and there were some very smart actuaries on that citizens' jury who found that, in fact, the findings of the Royal Commission in terms of the economic benefit to South Australia were not going to be worth the investment. So, you know, citizens' juries can actually challenge what you might expect to be the outcome. So you get fresh insights.
Look, I think that's a really great point, Gail, because certainly in juries that we've run together, like groups of informed citizens will sometimes come up with things you would, yeah, really that you wouldn't expect. So one of the juries we did looked at vaccinations in schools, and we did a youth jury, so with young people, and they just said it should be compulsory. We should have sports points for whoever gets the highest rates of vaccination in their class, and they were just very straightforward about the kind of...
It was quite transactional.
Yeah, and it's like we're too young to be able to make absolutely sound decisions about our own health. We need adults to help us do this, and this is just something we should just do. And we kind of went, oh, I would not have expected those young people
Some
to say that.
Some of them said,
that.
If you pay us, we'll definitely do it.
And then we did a similar jury, same sort of question, but with the adults, and they said, well, have a bus come to school and deliver the vaccinations at school. Really practical solutions that, you know, yes, of course, we could think of them in a policy context, but we didn't present that to them. They
No.
just came to that by themselves. So sometimes you just hear things that you are not expecting you're going to hear, or that people are more... hard line about decisions than we would think is appropriate as a policymaker. And I think I've found that to be, you know, I really trust juries. I think, you know, the recommendations that they make are really worth taking on board because they're rarely ill-informed and they can usually explain to you why they think what they think, and it's usually pretty sound. You can disagree. There's no reason for you to go, okay, they've said it, we must do that. But you at least know why they think what they think, and it's not just because that's the first thing that came into their minds, and I think that's really powerful for thinking about policy. And certainly when SACOS has engaged in some of this work, and I should say we've worked with Democracy Co, who I believe might be coming to your June forum. Yeah. So obviously they have done a lot of work with government and all sorts of other groups in the state, probably since you sort of exited stage left, Gail, I think. And so they've got a huge amount of experience of all sorts of different ways of working, and they'll be able to talk about that. But when we've done it with SACOS, we're also thinking about, from a policy-making perspective, about creating sort of understanding social licence for particular policy settings. So it's not about manipulating a group of people into thinking a certain way, but being able to deliberate about something and, you know, give policymakers in government comfort that, you know, an informed group of citizens would support a particular approach if that's where they land.
I think that's a really good point, in that it's really important to go into a citizen's jury without a set idea about what you think the outcome should be. You need to go into it thinking, well, what they come up with is, we're going to give them enough information and we're going to help them to talk to each other and deliberate, but what they come up with is what they come up with. And you can't then, you know, you can say, well, I mean, one of the problems with using citizens' juries in a research context, as I did, rather than as Rebecca and Gail have done. Rebecca's done more recently, and Gail did her entire career. Is that government didn't pretty much ignored it? Well, I came up with, I thought, with a really nice set of things that the South Australian government could do that would cost nothing. And would address childhood obesity in South Australia, and none of it was taken on board and none of it was enacted. And it was very disappointing. But, you know, I think if you've got government, as Gail has done, when the government actually runs these, they do take notice. And of the 22 recommendations that were made by the cycling jury, for example, I think they took on every single one in the end. They took on 20 straight away, and they said, we'll take two on consideration, but I think they then enacted those as well. It was very, very effective.
And I think we learnt a lot along the way, because the citizens' jury into the nighttime economy, which I've mentioned, that was tracking quite separate to the agency that was making a similar policy around it. And so when the jury landed its recommendations, I think the agency was, they knew about it, but they were a bit disconcerted. And so we had a review and looked at it and thought about it a bit more. And one of the design features that we brought to bear on the cycling jury was to set up a reference group that wouldn't necessarily influence, and it is a bit of a kind of dark art of, you know, engagement. You don't want the jury to be overly influenced. You want them to bring their life experience to it, but you do want them to be informed, because we're working on the principle that a group of citizens, given the time, the space, the information, the access to experts, will come up with as good or better recommendations on policy. So this reference group that tracked alongside the citizens' jury on cycling included people from Bike SA, the Trucking Association, the RAA. That was 10 years ago, so forgive my memory, but the Amy Gillett Foundation, and they received presentations. And they could use this reference group to bounce ideas if they had a query. And this group worked alongside, they didn't go into big huddles and say you really should have this policy. But some of the things that came out of it, and one of them that perhaps wouldn't have come out of the government-only process, was that cycling on pavements, where safe to do so, is actually okay. And the law was changed, and you can now, before it used to be only under 12 years old, you could do it. The 1 meter matters rule, where you really have to keep 1 meter. So there was a tension around that jury because there were a lot of cyclists who were quite militant and wanted to, and there was also a group of motorists who didn't.
Also quite militant.
Yeah, quite militant. And so finding common ground is really what citizens' juries are about. What can you live with? And that goes to the topic. How you choose the topic for citizens' jury or it's really important. This is an expensive exercise. You're not going to do this on service design, right? You're not going to do it where there's a yes or no question, because you're going to do it where you want some deep dive into the issues, where you want some creativity and some life experience brought to the process and the recommendations. And you also want to do it in concert with the agency that's going to have to deliver it on. Because at the end of the day, the jury goes away, they go home, off to the footy or whatever, and there's a bureaucrat going, holy, what? I'm going to have to do this and this and this, and it really makes a difference. On the one hand, you need a champion, you need a mandate, and you need someone like your premier or your chief executive to get behind it and say, well, look, we will listen at the very least. And Jay Weatherill was actually really good on that. He tabled all the jury reports in Parliament. We don't necessarily say up front that we're going to agree or adopt all the recommendations, but when they land, there are a couple of things that really need to have been done in advance, and those are, one, you need the agency responsible for doing the delivery to be on board. Two, you need a broader community buy-in to it, so through social media, through engagement of journalists in the process, so there's some credibility to the process. And you also need the jury's recommendations to have been really well informed by all of the evidence, including their own experience, which is evidence and data, to come up with a decent set of recommendations that actually kind of hold water.
I think you really need government behind it. It's not just even sufficient to have senior public servants behind it.